2. In the first chapter, as a matter of fact, my thought for this week has to do with abundance, in particular that our God deals abundantly. And as I was kind of studying through this, I actually don't remember what got me onto this topic this week, but as I was going through this, one of the things that struck me was that in the very beginning, God speaks about an abundance. And so I'm just going to read one verse here. There's actually more than one in here that talks about this, but just verse 20 of Genesis chapter 1. It says, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven." When God was creating this earth that we know, he did things in abundance. And I was interested in the thought about God being abundant. And we found this to be true, by the way, as man has attempted to study all of nature. One of the things that they're learning is every time they turn around, they find more things that they didn't know were there. God certainly created an abundance. And those are just the things that we can see easily. There is another huge abundance of things that we aren't able to see very well because they're so small. But God works in abundance. And the thought in my head this week was all about that God does everything in abundance. And I said this, I know, many times before, but God never does anything either halfway or even at 100%. It's always well above what might be expected. And so I found through Scripture some different abundances. I'll just mention a couple of these here, but there's abundant satisfaction, abundant life, abundant grace, abundant mercy, abundant power, abundant supply, and abundant entrance. And I was interested in thinking about God's provision and the way God works. And that God, when he provides for us, it's always in abundance. I know that as the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God provided them manna, and they were only allowed to take what they needed for one day. But the provision was in abundance, meaning there was actually more than they needed to collect. And we know this because some of them tried to collect more than they needed, and that didn't work out very well. But God provided in abundance. And then when they wanted meat, it speaks there about how there were so many that they couldn't even, it says something about how deep they were because there were so many of them. God provided for them. You know, God, when he provides, he always provides above and beyond what we can think about. And so he provides for us an abundant life. And I'm going to start there, I think, in John, the 10th chapter. This is a familiar passage, I know. In this 10th chapter, we have Jesus as the good shepherd. In verse 9 of John 10, Jesus speaking here, he says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And I've always been interested in this statement because it would have sufficed, I think, for Jesus to just have said, "I am come that they might have life." That was good. That's wonderful. But he doesn't stop there, and he goes on. He says that they might have it more abundantly. Man thinks that he has life. He thinks that he has figured out how to have a life that he enjoys. But without Christ, they're missing out on the true life. And God's people have been given life, and we should have a more abundant life because that's what Jesus brought us. That's the provision. I want to always notice that these things are the provision that God makes. How much we lay hold of, that's kind of our choice. The provision has been put in front of us for an abundant life. And many of God's people are not enjoying that abundant life because they're too concerned with the things of this life and not enjoying the true life that they have in Christ Jesus and the abundance that comes with that. The cares and so on of this life will weigh us down and take from our enjoyment, if you will, of life often, but it need not be that way because Jesus has provided for us an abundant life. With that life, there comes an abundant satisfaction, and that one we're going to go to Psalm 36. Man, I was looking at that, I was like, what? That's not Isaiah. Psalm 36. My printer didn't print real great, and so a couple of letters are not very good up here. Psalm 36. And verse 8. I think I'll read verse 7 with this as well. Psalm 36, verse 7 says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light." And so we see here this abundantly satisfied, being satisfied. It says what? It says with the fatness of thy house. Speaking to us, of course, of God's presence and what is to be found there. We should be satisfied. And not just satisfied, but abundantly satisfied. And you see how God always does things over and above. It would have been okay to just say they shall be satisfied with the fatness of thy house. But he wanted to make sure that we understand that there's an abundance there. And also, I think for some of God's people, they need to know that it can't be exhausted. It can't be run out. This is the other thing about God's abundance is it can't be exhausted. When we read about the unsearchable riches, that's really the thought in that passage there that Paul says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, it isn't that they can't be searched, it's just that the searching of them can't be exhausted. There's too much. You can't get to the end because there's so much. And this is the way with all of what God does. Everything that God does is in abundance. When he provides for his people, it's always in abundance. And as God's people, we should be abundantly satisfied with his presence. Notice, by the way, the context of that. That's why I wanted to read 7, but he says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness." He says, "Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." There's a place that we can be, and in there we will find an abundance of satisfaction. And then he goes on in verse 9 to speak about the fountain of life. And the fountain, of course, speaks to us also of an abundance because a fountain is something that continues to put forth water. We call them springs often here, but there are springs in different places in our country. I know there's quite a few of them over in Missouri, and we've been to some of those, and those, you know, the water just keeps coming, and it's really good water, too. It's really cool and really good water, but that's the idea of the fountain, that it just continues, and it can't be exhausted, and so we find satisfaction, abundant satisfaction. And the reason we can find abundant satisfaction is because there is abundant mercy. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, by the way, each one of these probably could have had many more verses. A few of them I do. But in order to kind of keep it within range, so you can search some of these things out as well. Verse 3 of 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter first chapter and the verse 3, He says here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And so here we find that according to his abundant mercy, and I'm glad to know that there was abundant mercy because we needed a lot of mercy. And again, to think about what this means for us is that God's mercy is available in enough for every person. And nobody is beyond the ability of God's mercy because it is abundant. It's more than we need. That's kind of hard to understand, I guess, when you think about mercy, but God's mercy is more than we need. The willingness of God to give his son demonstrates his abundant mercy. Abundant mercy. And with that abundant mercy comes abundant grace. Now, you know the difference. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. I should have checked this closer. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. My printer didn't print everything on the left side of my page, and so some of my numbers are gone. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. The difference between mercy and grace, you know, is mercy is that God doesn't give us what we deserve, and grace is that God gives us what we do not deserve. So you understand those two concepts. They're very similar. But one comes from one side and the other comes from the other side, if you will. Mercy is that God doesn't give us what we do deserve. And you know, if people understood, because a lot of people today think they deserve something, if they just understood what that is, they would just be glad for God's mercy that we don't get what we deserve. And thankful also for God's grace, which gives us that which we do not deserve. 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God's grace abounds towards us. And it creates, it does something to changes in our life, right? Because he speaks here about abounding to every good work. Well, we certainly can't abound to every good work except for God's grace abounding in our lives. Man might think that he does good things, and they do. Some of them do things that appear to be good. But the scripture is very clear about our ability to do good work. That it is a result of God's abundant grace in Jesus Christ. And we had some of that in Ephesians recently as well. I'm going to go real quick to Exodus on this one. This is still the same abundant grace, but I want to go to Exodus 34. I think I'll start in verse 4 of this chapter. Exodus 34 and verse 4. It says, and he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. This is the declaration of God's name. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. And so here we find God's abundance, both in goodness and in truth. And these two things, of course, always go together, but God's goodness and his truth. But God, this is not just something he does. This is part of who God is. This is one of the characteristics of God. We talk about wanting to know God. Well, these are the things that we need to know, because these are the things that are the characteristics of who God is. And yes, it does manifest in his actions towards us for sure, but sometimes we can do something, and like I said, a man can do something that looks to be good, and he can say, I did something good, but that's not who he is. We can all understand that, I think. But see, with God, this is who he is. And his goodness and his truth and his grace and his mercy, they are abundant towards us, and I'm glad. 1 Timothy, I think. That's funny. I didn't look at this earlier. Yes, 1 Timothy, the first chapter. It's the printer. It's not the paper. It's the printer. It didn't print on the left side for about one character, and so my numbers are missing on a lot of the. Not totally missing. They're kind of almost not there. And so I look at them and it looks like that might be 1 Timothy. It is 1 Timothy 1:14. He says, "Well, okay, I shouldn't start there, should I? I think I should start in verse 12." Maybe verse 11. Yeah, let's start in verse 11. He says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. He says, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and because God's mercy is abundant. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul loves these superlatives, and I understand. You know, Paul puts himself out here as the example, and in doing so, he's trying to tell us. He said, "This is as bad as it gets." He says, "I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious," meaning causing injury to Christians. But he says, "I obtained mercy," and he says, "The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Paul's a man who understood God's grace. Not just because he had a revelation of God's grace, which he did, but because his life was an example of God's grace. If anybody could understand God's grace, it was certainly Paul. You see, Paul, after he knew the Lord, he understood what he deserved. But he also recognized what God gave him. That God's grace was exceeding abundant. And this is a great comfort to us, to know that God's grace is exceeding abundant. There are many other places that speaks about God's abundant grace, but I think I'm going to go to Romans. I didn't want to touch on all of them because it would get kind of long. a lot about God's abundant grace in the New Testament here. Romans, the 5th chapter. Let's go there real quick. I think verse 16 is where I'll start. Romans 5 and verse 16, it says, And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that is Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And here we find, by the way, the connection between the abundant grace and the abundant life. We received abundant grace, and we shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. There's abundant life that comes with that. We wouldn't have abundant life without God's abundant grace. Those two things also are very tightly tied together. And then, of course, Paul tells us, you know, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. That's right down to the bottom of this chapter. He says more in verse 20, he says, more where the law entered that the offense might abound. He says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Is sin abundant? Well, yeah. Yeah, sin's definitely abundant. But God's grace is more abundant. See, wherever sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And that's difficult at times to understand. I think sometimes we fail to recognize and lay hold of what God has given us in provision here. But we need to recognize that God's grace is more abundant. Do we fail? Have we failed? Yes. Yes. But God's grace is more abundant. We don't need to stay in that place of failure because we can call upon God's grace, which does abound. Let's think about abundant supply. You know where I'm going, Philippians, the fourth chapter. Everybody probably knows this verse, but let's just let our eyes fall on it. Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 19. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not just part of your need. Not just barely. As I mentioned earlier, you can think about the Old Testament. In fact, let's just do that. Let's go to Deuteronomy for just a minute, the eighth chapter. Deuteronomy, the eighth chapter. God doesn't just kind of, sort of, barely provide. I think I'm going to start in verse 3. Well, verse 2 says, he says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. It's interesting, it says that God suffered them to hunger. In other words, he allowed them to be hungry. Why? Well, so he could show his abundant supply. And he did. And it was good. Had they not been hungry, the manna would not have been appreciated. Trust me on this. It was appreciated because they had been allowed to go hungry. And they recognized that it was from God because it was exactly how he said. God supplies in abundance. Sometimes he allows us to a place where we have to come to a place where we are able to actually recognize his supply. I'm not going to turn it to Psalm, but Psalm 23:1, you know that one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, shall not lack anything. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He supplies what we need, and he does so in abundance. In Luke, I'm not going to turn to this one either, but in Luke, the 12th chapter, and also this is in Matthew, but he says here in verse 31 of Luke 12, he says, rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Before that, he had said, don't worry about the raiment that you need and the food. He said, these are the things that God will provide. In Psalm 132:15, he says, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will abundantly satisfy or provide for her. There's also abundant power. And this is in Ephesians, the third chapter. I couldn't remember if we had gone past this last time or not. My memory was not very good when I got to this. But third chapter, Ephesians, verse 20. It seemed like for some reason I thought we had read this last time, but I read this all the time. Okay, so you'll get to hear it again. And this is a verse that Jack quoted often, and so I appreciate this. It came to my mind. In verse 20 of Ephesians 3, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And that's all I'm going to say about that, because I think you'll hear something in the after service. But there's exceeding power, or abundant power, I'm sorry. Abundant power. It is exceeding. Abundant power. God does everything for us in abundance. And I've appreciated considering and thinking about this. So the last one is abundant entrance, which we find in 1 Peter, the first chapter. Looks like that's supposed to be 2 Peter. Sorry about that. 2 Peter, the first chapter. I knew that didn't look right. Now I got to decide where to start here. Verse 10, I guess, of 2 Peter 1, verse 10, he says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, I thought about this one a little bit, meditated on it a little bit, because I was thinking, what does that mean to have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And you know, one of the things that came to my mind as I considered this was, there are many of God's people who are content with just being saved. And I guess, if you will, getting in. But there's something more than that. And this is the thing about what God does. And I kind of alluded to this as we talked about what Christ restored, that he didn't just restore the things that we lost, but rather more. And so, you know, Adam and Eve, they lost their place in the Garden of Eden. I don't know if we can really comprehend what that might have been like. There's some beautiful things around us that we can find. We can find some beautiful nature somewhere. I don't think it compares with what they were in. And so I don't think we can really imagine what that means. But think about this. God didn't just restore us to a marvelous Eden. God brought us into his very presence, into heaven. And there's an abundant entrance available for those that want. Again, this is the way God does. All of what God has created for us in provision in Christ Jesus is available to all those that want to lay hold of it. Not everybody wants to. But if you want to lay hold, there is an abundant entrance. Now, to me, I think this probably has some connection to think about when Paul speaks about a prize, calling of the high prize. You see, that to me, that represents an abundance. God did not have to bring us into his family in that way. He did not have to provide for us an opportunity to be the bride of Christ. God didn't have to do that. But he did. And so that's the, in my thinking about this abundant entrance, that's the abundant entrance, if you will. It's available there for those that want to lay hold of it. And so, as with all things that God has provided for us, there is an abundance. And whether or not we enjoy that abundance, it's kind of our choice whether we lay hold of it or not. There's an abundance of what we need for our lives in God's Word. If you've studied God's Word, you know this already. There's abundance there. And if you study, as you study it, you are not exhausting it. At least I haven't yet. And you can't exhaust it. And so there's an abundance of what we need to find in God's Word. But we will have to make a choice to lay hold of that. I'm thankful and grateful that for us in this country and in many other countries as well, but today there is an abundance of availability of God's Word. It's in many, many forms. I've said this, you know, numerous times, but it's in many, many forms, all the way from my computer to your book to, Erlene has some cassette tapes with the Bible on it. There are DVDs with the Bible on it. So it's available abundantly. I mean, any way you want it, it's available. And I appreciate that. But more importantly is the fact that in there, in that scripture, there is an abundance of what we need. And that's really what matters. Because even God's people who don't have an abundance, by the way, of the word, in terms of physically being available, they often seem to be the ones that take the most opportunity to lay hold of it. I've told you this before, but I don't know if it's still this way in other places, but in the old days in the Soviet Union, when Bibles were outlawed, and Christians weren't allowed to congregate, they would take a Bible and they would disassemble it. If you look at your Bible, it's assembled into sections, the way books are made. And they would disassemble a Bible, and so they would take each of those sections and hand them out to people in the congregation. They would take them with them and read them. When they came back together, they would swap them so that you could get your next section of the Bible. And, you know, if you think about that, that's pretty impressive that somebody wants to know that badly, because they really want to lay hold of what they have. On the other hand, we have an abundance that's available everywhere, but an awful lot of God's people don't even have one with them this morning wherever they're congregating. There are many places people are congregating this morning that people did not even bring a Bible with them to their service, because they don't have an interest in the abundance that exists in God's word. We're privileged, I say, to have this available. And so let us not waste that privilege or take it for granted. I'm glad that we can have God's word in many different ways. And I'm especially glad that God has provided abundantly for us. And so his Holy Spirit will reveal these things also in abundance if we'll just have a desire to lay hold of them. And so that's all I had this morning. There's an abundance of things in my heart as well, but